This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
There are moments in our life when we arrive at a point that an opportunity is given that is so massive that words often fall short. Today's interview is exactly one of those moments. Thanks to the incredible work by Joe Flynn and the additional support by General Flynn, Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano agreed to do his first interview in over 2 years on the Bards FM podcast. Archbishop Vigano is a patriot of the truest sense. He has sacrificed everything to fight for truth, liberty, and the preservation of faith for all of humanity. He's worked globally for the Catholic Church, he's worked in Vatican City, and he's seen deep within the Holy See. He is a man of unbelievable character, of deep passion, with a heart that is truly one of God, kindness, and humility. And yet he reminds us throughout his interview of the importance of us standing and fighting for our faith. Due to the length of the interview, I've divided it into two parts. Additionally, since Archbishop Vigano's primary language is Italian, we recorded the interview both in English and in Italian. And to add even more granularity to the accuracy of the interview, the entire interview has been documented as a PDF and available for download, both in English and Italian. So please take time to listen to both part one and part two of these interviews. They're an amazing insight into the global elites, the role of the Catholic Church, and their plan to enslave humanity. So welcome to the Bards FM podcast. My name is Scott Kesterson, and you are listening to part two of an interview with Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. Your Excellency, you have become an outspoken critic of the corruption in the Church. You stated in your first testimony, dated August 22, 2018, that corruption had reached the very top of the Church's hierarchy. In that testimony, you stated, quote, "Bishops and priests, abusing their authority, have committed horrendous crimes to the detriment of their faithful, minors, innocent victims, and young men eager to offer their lives to the Church, or by their silence have not prevented that such crimes continue to be perpetrated." You go on to state, "We must tear down the conspiracy of silence with which bishops and priests have protected themselves at the expense of their faithful, a conspiracy of silence that in the eyes of the world risks making the Church look like a sect, a conspiracy of silence not so dissimilar from the one that prevails in the Mafia. Truth and transparency, Your Excellency, are what evil seeks to deny at any cost. How can this cult of silence be torn down? How can we restore the light to the darkness?"
We are seeing in a civil life. The network of corruption of the deep state is coming to light, revealing complicity and crimes that no normal person would even conceive of. And the guilty, along with their accomplices, in the press, in the institution, try to hide them, to deny them, to ridicule those who denounce them. Their strategy is the same as that of demons. Hatred, lies, deception. The same thing is happening in the Church, where the deep Church is emerging with cases of pedophilia, the complicity of the Lavender Mafia, the trafficking of money stolen from Vatican coffers to pay for the electoral campaign of Hillary Clinton, or to bribe witnesses. In Australia, it appears that money was sent from the Vatican to condemn Cardinal Pell, an innocent man accused of crimes against minors only in order to keep him away from Rome, so that Cardinal Becciu, and now Monsignor Peña Parra, the new substitute, and others would not be discovered. It seems that the Chinese Communist government is sending exorbitant sums to the Vatican in exchange for the silence and connivance with the Holy See. In the meantime, Christians are persecuted. Good pastors are arrested or sent to re-education camps, and the religious rights of the people are denied. But the deep church is not interested in defending the flock. They want power, they want money. The real problem of bishops and priests who sin gravely against God and the souls is this, in that these crimes are not an exception to the norm, but almost a norm that has been tolerated for far too long, and that today has become an indispensable requirement for a career in the Vatican and in the diocese.
Your Excellency, corruption within the Church has sadly become more common than not. This has a devastating impact on trust and belief in those sharing and teaching God's Word. In your letters sent to the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., dated June 3, 2020, you stated, quote, "Unfortunately, the Catholic Church is led by many false pastors. Over the past 20 years, your Diocese of Washington, in particular, and now for the third time, has been and continues to be deeply affected and wounded by false shepherds whose way of life is full of lies, deceits, lust, and corruption."
In that letter, I denounced the absurd attitude of the Archbishop of Washington, Wilton Gregory, who had sharply criticized the visit of the President and First Lady to the National Shrine of St. John Paul II, portraying it as a political stunt. As a nuncio, I can say that the Church has always been respectful and prudent, especially towards a sitting president. In this case, the hatred of the deep church against Trump prevailed with an unworthy and unjustified attack. Why is it that this prelate never raised their voices when dealing with a Democrat? Why are they silent about the crime of abortion, even to the point of infanticide, of which Joe Biden is a supporter and yet dares to call himself Catholic? I will say to them, it is because they are corrupt. They are on the same side. They belong to the same world. And thus, they reciprocally defend each other. They help each other out. They cover up each other's wrongdoings. Bergoglio, with the new move against Trump, has just promoted Gregory as a cardinal. Of course, Gregory supports the Dems' agenda, just like Bergoglio is for Biden against Trump. Gregory is all for the poor, all for the migrants. Just Bergoglio, he wants a poor church for the poor. But I remember well, not only his luxurious car, a Lexus, but also, in 2014, Archbishop Gregory was in hot water for buying a $2.2 million mansion for its own use. What was even more troubling about this situation is where the money came from. A nephew of Margaret Mitchell, who authored the classic Gone with the Wind, left much of his estate to the Archdiocese of Atlanta, asking that it be used for charitable purposes. Instead, the $15 million were used by Gregory for purchasing property, leaving only about $3 million for Catholic charities. If it had not been for the intervention of the media, thus denouncing the scandal, Gregory would have kept that villa.
Your Excellency, how can the faithful know who the false shepherds are if their afflictions of lies, deceits, lust, and corruption are not called out, and these false shepherds are not identified by name?
The names that emerge are usually those that it is no longer possible to keep hidden from public opinion. We think, among others, of Megari case. Bergoglio condemned him by authority with an administrative procedure, thus impeding the publication of the procedural act and testimonies of the people involved. In order not to bring to light the complicity of the people truly responsible for this corruption, who are the people who are responsible and their accomplices? The people that Bergoglio wanted, promoted, and defended, despite the denunciation of dossiers of complaints against them. Pope Benedict XVI had imposed a retired life on Mackay, and yet Bergoglio sent him to China on his behalf to complete the agreement with the government, as if nothing had happened, as if the fact of being a pervert and corrupter was not more than sufficient reason for keeping him away for the diplomatic affair of the Holy See. Or rather, it was for this very reason that Bergoglio entrusted this mission to him. I'm not surprised. Mackay was among those who supported the election of Bergoglio, both in 2005, after the death of John Paul II, although he did not succeed then, as well as in 2013, after the resignation of Benedict XVI. Thus, Bergoglio was indebted to Mackay, and it is obvious that he did not raise too much against him. I ask myself whether the former cardinal may not have also had elements of blackmail which he held over his own blackmailer.
Your Excellency, what is the solution to this corruption?
Obviously, it's not enough to only punish the guilty, admitted or not granted that one really wants to punish them. What is needed is authentic personal conversion and a deep reform of ecclesiastical discipline. The only way to restore credibility to the minister of God is to bring soul back to him through a work of penance and conversion. We must cultivate the holiness of the clergy as indispensable premise for the holiness of the people. It is a work that only the omnipotent Lord can accomplish. But each one of us can ask of him by means of prayer and sacrifice, and which the authority of the Church must impose. The only way to restore credibility to the ministers of God is to bring soul back to him through a work of penance and conversion. We must cultivate the holiness of the clergy as indispensable premise for the holiness of the people. Is a work that only the omnipotent Lord can accomplish, but that each one of us can ask of him by means of prayer and sacrifice, and which the authority of the Church must impose without exception by cleaning up and expelling the unworthy from the temple. I would like to add a reflection that is perhaps a bit banal, but yet is true and verifiable. The Good Shepherd, the thousands of good bishops and priests around the world, do not need to say, "I am a good shepherd," because they demonstrate it daily by their commitment. The Lord has told us that the sheep recognize his voice. Well, even today, faithful Christians and honest people who fear God immediately know how to recognize through that supernatural instinct that the Church calls the sensus fidei, who comes from God and who instead come from Satan. Rather than having the smell of the sheep, priests ought to be the sweet fragrance of Christ, the anointed one, the divine shepherd.
Your Excellency, in your appeal for the Church and the world, dated May 7th, 2020, a prophetic statement within the text reads, "There are powers interested in creating panic among the world's population, with the sole aim of permanently imposing unacceptable forms of restriction on freedoms, of controlling people, and of tracking their movements. The imposition of these liberal measures is a disturbing prelude to the realization of a world government beyond all control." Your Excellency, what would you say to people consumed with fear in these times? What would you say to assuage their fears, to give them strength, and to help them find trust in our Lord Jesus Christ?
The purpose of Freemasonry is to create a world government with a universal syncretistic religion. But in order to establish this world government, both national state as well as the Church must first be eliminated. And how can this be done? Fear is the most effective means to attain this end. fear of a virus that the mainstream media present as if it was the gravest of plagues. So also the system boycotts the cures. In Italy, for example, the use of hydroxychloroquine has been banned by order of the World Health Organization and sows the seed of panic. It makes people believe that the intensive care wards are full of sick people, that thousands of people are dying, that the contagion is spreading death everywhere. This permits the deep state to impose lockdown, limit citizen liberties, use the army to control the population, close the churches and ban masses, all with the consent of the hierarchy that is always obedience to its dictates. Indeed, the hierarchy is even zealous in anticipating the closure ahead of time and prohibiting priests from administering the sacrament. And while citizens are besieged by this madness that imposes absurd law and confinements, obliging social distancing and the use of masks even outdoors, the deep state and the deep church are in agreement with making us be invaded by hordes of illegal immigrants who do not only do not want to respect the religion, civilization, culture, and law of the countries that host them, but even want to impose their own Islamic law. This is the case, for example, for Italy, whose border by many Islamic on the north of Africa, and who impose their costume and almost always contribute to increase of criminal behavior and violence. Then we discover that the organization that oversees the reception of immigrants, which is a multi-million dollars business, are heavily split between left and the church. Soros, proclamation of Bergoglio and the Democrats, hide economic interests that give them compensation for the support of aligned mainstream talk. In a climate of terror and economic crisis, provoked on purpose in order to aggravate the situation in the various nations and to disturb the electoral process in the United States and prevent Trump's re-election, justification is given for the imposition of totalitarian regime, the yielding of national sovereignty, the recourse to a supranational organs that are miraculously supposed to guarantee health, social peace, and economic recovery. But it is a deception. They have organized everything in order to arrive at this situation, taking orders from Bill Melinda Gates Foundation, from Gavi Vaccine Alliance Group, from pharmaceutical companies, in short, from the deep state. Fear, I repeat, is the instrument with which they want to impose this infernal dictatorship, which is intended to prepare for the world government. To those who feel disoriented, to those who fear for the future of their families, their nations, and the entire world, I respond with the words of our Lord. Do not be afraid. I have conquered the world. No matter how they may unleash themselves, the power of hell will never prevail over the church. And the trials we are facing, however painful and fraught, the consequences are wakening people up and opening the eyes who up until now have been unaware of what is happening in the political and ecclesiastical sphere. Today we can see. Just think, if 20 years ago they would have told us that the world would grind to a halt with a pandemic and that they would try to force all of humanity to be subjugated to an invasive control like the one Bill Gates wants with his nano chips, we would have said that this idea were just conspiracy theories. Today, all of this is taking place. And we realize that the deep state had also told us shamelessly ahead of time, certain that we would not believe something so grave and disturbing. So I ask you, when we read in the Sacred Scripture about the end times, the great apostasy, when St. Paul says to us, even if an angel should announce to you a gospel other than the one that we preached to you, let be anathema. When the Blessed Mother in the apparition of the La Salette in France warns us that Rome will lose the faith and will become the seat of the Antichrist, is this not what we are facing now? Why should we think that the end times are always far away? In the book of Revelation, St. John speaks thus about the end times. No one could buy or sell if they did not bear the mark, that is, the name of the beast or the number that corresponds to his name. Thus it seems to you that the contact tracing project negotiated by Bill Gates with a member of Congress for $100 billion in the September 2019, 6 months before the pandemic, reminds us in a disturbing way of the mark of the beast, as does the health passport that some nations want to impose under the pretext of COVID-19, already being tested on certain flights from London to Newark.
Your Excellency, how should we carry ourselves in this epochal situation?
We must not allow ourselves to become discouraged. Despair is a diabolical temptation that makes us believe that salvation is impossible. The devil and his followers appear terrible. They go to great lengths to snatch as many souls as possible from God. But they know that they have already lost the war, and that the beast and his prophet will be thrown alive, I quote, into the fiery pool burning with sulfur, unquote. We have the Lord of hosts on our side fighting for us. We have the Immaculate Virgin, terrible as an army set in battle array. We have St. Michael, the Prince of the Heavenly Host, and the patron of the church. And another important thing, we are not few in number. On the contrary, the deep state wants to make us believe that it is all powerful and has many allies, but the sons of light are far, far greater in number. They are, or rather, you are, we are, perhaps not as visible, perhaps quieter and lacking of the same organization, but we are many. And if we place all our hopes in the Lord, He will help us, because His heart will allow itself to be conquered by our prayer, by our penance, by the voice of so many good souls who call upon Him. A father does not abandon his children, above all, in the moment of the final confrontation.
Your Excellency, in your note sent to the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast on September 23, 2020, you state, quote, "The presidential elections in November represent an epical challenge, a biblical challenge, the outcome of which will be decisive not only for the United States of America, but for the whole world." You go on to state that President Trump, quote, "is preparing to fight against the demonic forces of the deep state and against the New World Order." How must we as Christians fight this evil that is now settling in upon us? What would you say to Americans who are now preparing to make a decision at the polls that will literally define the future of the world?
The political situation in the United States on the eve of the presidential election is a mirror of what is happening on the global level. Two sides are facing each other in an epochal battle between the children of light and the children of darkness. And in a battle, one must fight, not hope to get away by hiding. The Lord wants us to be courageous and loyal, and only in this way will we be worthy of wearing the spiritual armor that will protect us. We must not be surprised that the darkness hates the light. It would cease to be darkness if it allowed itself to be illuminated. I quote, "The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not welcome it." This darkness is in the civil life and in political life, but also in the religious and ecclesiastical life, that we do not make compartment of our lives. Our commitment as Christians must manifest itself in our behavior as citizens and as a member of the faithful. And thus, we bear witness to our faith with coherence in every moment of our life. We are knight of Christ, who is our King. And if there are those who would like to dethrone him in society and even in the church, we ought to make him reign in our heart, in our families, in our civil society, our workplaces, our schools, everywhere. One nation under God. Your vote should be given to those who have demonstrated that they want to protect life, the natural family, law and order, the prosperity of the nation, the peace all over the world, not to those who are in favor of abortion, infanticide, homosexual unions, LGBTQ indoctrination, wild immigration, destruction of religion, dissolution of our Christian civilization. With this vote, you can truly change the fate of your homeland and the world. And the Lord is giving us the opportunity to be protagonists of this change by placing a cross on the electoral ballot.
Your Excellency, in your letter to President Donald J. Trump, published on June 6, 2020, you stated that the investigations already underway will reveal the true responsibility for those who manage the COVID emergency, not only in the area of healthcare, but also in politics, the economy, and the media. We will probably find that in this colossal operation of social engineering, there are people who have decided the fate of humanity, arrogating themselves the right to act against the will of citizens and their representatives in the governments of nations, end quote. Your Excellency, we know that COVID originated from China, and while there are many facets of this tangled web of deceit, in light of China's involvement, it is increasingly concerning to read that the Vatican is now in the process of renewing the deal signed with the Communist Party of China, the CCP, that recognizes CCP-appointed bishops. This sounds very much like an endorsement of social engineering through faith. What are your thoughts on this? Is this a step towards a one-world religion?
The Vatican's enslavement to the Chinese dictatorship is disconcerting. Cardinal Zen's courageous denunciations of this unfortunate policy confirm the betrayal of the Vatican with respect to the Chinese Catholic bishops and priests, despite the persecution of the regime, remain faithful to the Apostolic See. China plays a leading role in the New World Order. It is no coincidence that it is supported by corrupt and unscrupulous politicians who have drawn economy and power advantages from the Chinese Communist Party. Think of the investigation that today involved the Biden family, for example. The Holy See has made itself complicit with this world plan. In reality, this behavior is consistent with the aims of the Deep Church, which acts as a servant of globalism and whose leaders inspire to play leading roles in the Masonic world religion desired by the recent encyclical Fratelli Tutti, all brothers. Once again, let us open our eyes. They accuse us of being conspiracy theorists. But whoever makes a plot is a conspiracy theorist, not whoever denounces it. It would be like accusing those who call firefighters of being pyromaniac and not those who set fire to the house.
Your Excellency, I always close the interviews with a prayer. Having you on this program today is an honor that is difficult to fully articulate in words. I would be deeply honored if you would lead this closing prayer today for all Christians in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I would like to recite with you a very beautiful prayer composed by Pope Leo XIII in 1884 during the celebration of Mass. Leo XIII had a vision. Satan was asking the Lord for permission to persecute the world and the church for 100 years in order to put good soul to the test. Following this vision, the Pope wrote out all at once the exorcism against Satan and the apostate angels, and he ordered that at the end of Mass, a prayer would be recited, which was then abolished after the Second Vatican Council. Dear friends, let us pray together the St. Michael the Archangel prayer, invoking from heaven the power of protection of God. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, a prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits, wander through the world for the ruin of souls. Sante Michele Arcangele, defende nos in prelio. Contra nequitias et insidias diaboli esto presidium. Imperatili Deus, suffices deprecamur. Tu princes milice celestis, Satanam, aliosque spiritus malignos, qui in perditionem animarum per vagantur in mundo, divina virtute in infernum detrude. Amen. And God bless the United States of America and each one of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That concludes part two with an interview with Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. If you haven't listened to part one, please do so. This story is one everyone needs to hear. God bless. So thanks for tuning in. Remember, if you like the channel, please hit subscribe, like the episode, and share it on your favorite social media forum. The Bards FM podcast can be found on Podbean at www.bards.fm. You can also find the Bards FM podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, YouTube, and BitChute by entering Bards FM in the search bar on the respective apps or websites. Also remember to check out Bards of War Fighting is Everything documentary at bardsofwarfilm.com. That's bardsofwarfilm.com. Buying a copy helps support these podcasts and future film projects. And if you would like to support the channel with a donation link is below. All podcasts are written and produced by Scott Kesterson. Opinions expressed are the individual's only. Interpretations of events are the sole rights and opinions of the podcast presenter and guests. Bards FM, Bards of War, Fighting is Everything, and Expedition Cafe are trademarks of Scott Kesterson and Expedition Cafe. Thank you again. You have been listening to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, out for now.